Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you all here in the house of the Lord tonight. This is our sixth night, second to the last night of our gathering, our convocation together. Tomorrow night is going to be just a tremendous night with ministers from different parts of the world participating with us and bringing the impartation of God's goodness into our lives. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do tonight in this house for each individual. For us, O God, corporately, for the impartation, O God, of your word and the transformation of our lives. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for your help. Thank you, Lord, O God, for cleansing from all sin or righteousness, transgressions, iniquities, for the redemptive work, O God, of your presence and power. Cleanse from all defilement. May we stand before you in the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we experience all that you have for us. And may it be permanent. Lord, O God, living transformed, we will bring transformation to our generation. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we are discussing the subject of the remembrance of God. Lord, remember me. And tonight I want to, in a sense, bring a summarization of what we've been talking about. Some key things that we have to have settled in our minds. The statement, remember me, it's a very crucial one. It's a very important one. I don't want you to lose sight of that. In fact, before the Lord left, at the table of communion, the statement he made was, remember me. If he says, remember me, guess what? It's important for us to be able to say the same, remember me. Amen? But what do I want God to remember me about? What is it that I want to see happen? And what happens when somebody is remembered of God? Let us start, first of all, from Psalm 103. Verse 13 and verse 14. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. The word of God says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. God pities those that fear him. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. In essence, the psalmist is saying, God, verse 14, he says, for he knoweth our frame. Yeah? He knows our frame. He remembereth that we are what? Dust. It's important that God remembers that I am dust. Why is that important? Because it means that I need help. I need help. Someone say help. One of the wisest prayers you and I can pray is to cry out to God. If you don't have anything to say, just say, Lord, help. Help me, Lord. Have mercy. Help me, Lord. There is no great man or woman of God that doesn't cry out to God for help. If you think you've got it, you are in a very sorry state. So, Lord, remember my frame. Remember, I'm just like grass that's here today and tomorrow is gone. So whatever it is you need to do for me now, do it while I'm still here. Hallelujah. Lord, do it now. Do it now. I cry out to you. I need help. I need help. My days are limited. I need help now. I'm not going to enjoy everything in heaven. I need to enjoy heaven on earth. Hallelujah. I need help today. I need help with my marriage. I need help with my children. I need help with my business. I need help with my education. I need help with my finances. I need help. Because you see, without the help of God, you are here today and tomorrow you are gone and forgotten. I need help. So the word of God tells us in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, it's not by might. It is not by power. It is by the Spirit of God. The word of God that is spoken clearly states, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. By my Spirit. Someone say, by my Spirit. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It is by the Spirit of God. Now, what does the Lord Jesus Christ tell us about the Holy Spirit? It tells us in John 14 and verse 26, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. Hallelujah. That means then, for me to experience the goodness of God, God remembering me, means that I need, and one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is to bring us to the place of remembrance. Somebody say remembrance. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. That's why I'm not preaching now. I spend my time teaching so that you know. Preaching can give you hype. Teaching shows you how to stay in that hype. Hello? So that's why I'm going step by step, so you know exactly how it's going to happen. Remembrance is connected to the Holy Spirit. And to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. So when I say, God, remember me, it also means that I need to remember how the things of the Spirit work. I need to know how it works, because my capacity to receive from God is connected to my capacity to know how the things of the Spirit work, where my limits are, what things God says is mine, what things God says isn't mine. What things can I do in the realm of the Spirit? And what kind of things shouldn't I even attempt to do? For example, with all the authority and power that God has given to me and given to you, he says to us that even the angel Michael did not bring a word of rebuke directly by himself to Satan, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Is that what the word of God says?
Yes.
The Lord rebuke you. Guess what? That is the mighty archangel. So what does the word of God teach us? Never to confront the enemy in your own might or power because you fasted, because you this and that, you have all this word. No. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. God gives me the authority to connect with his name and his word, to declare his word, to stop and to resist. I can resist the enemy, but I cannot resist the enemy without first humbling myself before God. It says, submit yourself to God. Humble yourself. Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil, and then the devil will flee from you. Oh, I fasted. I prayed. I'm so anointed. Okay. When you are smacked left, right, center, and dragged like a rag doll all over the place, we shall see how anointed you are. That's how so many people get themselves in trouble. Know your limits. Know what God says you can do. He has given you power and authority over unclean spirits. So by the authority of the word of God, I can say to unclean spirits, be gone. You unclean spirit that is trying to operate in my life, bringing defilement into my life, be gone from me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. By the authority of his name, God will bring to me remembrance of what to do and what not to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are keys of the kingdom. Yes? Okay. Now, I'm called to experience help. That's why God gave the Holy Spirit to be a comforter, a paraclete, one who walks alongside of you, walks with you, and helps you connect. In Genesis, some of the benefits of God remembering you and I. In Genesis chapter 30, in verse 22, I made comment on this a little bit the other day. He says, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. Why? God remembered Rachel. In 1 Samuel and verse 19, God remembered Hannah. God remembered Rachel and God opened her womb and she conceived and bore a son and said, God had taken away my reproach. That's the second thing that happens. And we've stated that through the messages that you've heard this week, that when God remembers you, reproach is removed. When God remembers you, your womb is open. You are able to birth. You are able to be fruitful. So when we're talking about God remember me, we should remember the fact that we're saying God caused me to be fruitful and removed me from the place of reproach. He says, the people that fear God, he says, my people shall never be ashamed. Amen? Hallelujah. So one of the benefits of God remembering me is my womb is open and reproach is removed from me. Shame is removed from me. God remembers me. In Exodus chapter 2, Verse 24 and 25, we read these powerful words. He says, and God heard their groaning. Isn't it interesting that the Bible tells us about groaning and the role of the Holy Spirit, that when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit with groanings. Hallelujah. When God heard their groaning, God remembered his covenant. He remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. In essence, God had pity on them, and God had respect unto them. He honored them. So when God remembers you, he puts respect on you. He pities you, but it's not the pity of, oh, poor you. It's the pity of, I give you mercy. I render to you help. I give you the assistance that you need to experience the breakthrough that you need in your life. Hallelujah. So when I'm in trouble, when you are in trouble, our cry to God must be, Lord, remember me and help me. Remember me and have mercy. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy on my soul. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Have mercy, God. Have mercy. Remember me and have mercy on my soul. Remember me. In Numbers chapter 10 and verse 9. The word of God states again the word of remembrance. And this time, he's talking about a time when the people of God are going through warfares. He says here, if you go to war in your land, in other words, the enemy has come into your territory. This is not supposed to be the case. You are supposed to invade the enemy and take new ground. But you are in a situation where the enemy actually came into your territory, came into your land, and wants to dispossess you of the possessions of God, those things that God has given to you. He says, when that enemy comes against you in your land to oppress you, then you shall blow an alarm. Cry out. Blow an alarm. Blow the shofar. Blow an alarm with trumpets. And ye shall be what? Remembered. So this is another way of getting remembrance. Releasing a shout unto God with a trumpet, with a shofar. Praise the Lord. You blow the shofar. You blow the trumpet. But there is a natural trumpet, we are told by the sages, that comes from deep within you here and out your mouth. That means part of the trumpet is you crying out to God. He says, blow that trumpet in Zion. He says, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. So part of God remembering me is salvation. Hallelujah. When I need to be saved, I cry out to God with a trumpet. Hallelujah. In Psalm 106 and verse 45, The Bible tells us that God remembers his covenant. Remember me. He says he remembered for them. This is where the help comes. When I am so mesmerized and so overwhelmed by stuff and I start acting psychotic, crazy. He said, God, please remember your covenant for me because I'm so confused. I've been hit so hard, I got punched, you know, I'm not thinking straight, I'm seeing stars all over the place. Remember the covenant for me. He says, I'm repented according to the multitude of his mercies. When God remembers his covenant, he extends mercies. What is the point? The point is me crying out, remember me. It's not about me, God remembering me and looking at my sinful self. No. Because if God looks at me and all he sees is my sinful self, he really has no obligation, no incentive to help me. But God looks at his covenant. He looks at his son who paid the price for my redemption. And when he remembers me, he also remembers that there is an enemy that did this. An enemy did this. A man went and sowed good seeds. And one day his servants come running saying, didn't you sow good seed in that plot? Yeah. But I see tares. There is a wrong crop growing alongside with the good. And the Lord said, his master said to the servant, an enemy had done this. When men slept. When men slept, an enemy sowed the wrong seed. Remember me, Lord. There are things happening in my life that shouldn't be happening. I didn't go looking for this, but it's in my life. I didn't go looking for this, but somehow it crept into my life. I need help. Lord God Almighty, I am struggling financially. I need help. Lord, I am struggling in my marriage. I need help. I'm struggling with my children. I need help. Lord, oh God, my family members are on drugs, on alcohol. They are in bad situations. I need help. I need help. Great men and great women have issues also. We all need help. Lord, remember me and remove reproach from my life. Hallelujah. In Esther, chapter 6, the Bible tells us about the happenings around Esther and Mordecai and the people of Israel, the Jews. They were out in exile. Esther was an orphan, had been taken on by Mordecai. And there was a queen called Vashti. Remember this story very well. I'm not going to spend my time going into details on it. But the fact is, Vashti, through her actions, is removed from the throne, and a replacement was sought for. Esther won that competition and became queen. While she was queen, Mordecai finds out one day that there were plans to kill the king, Xerxes. And he reveals the secret to Esther. It is noted and cataloged what Mordecai did, but interestingly enough, Mordecai did not get the blessing or the honor of being the one that exposed this coup. Haman, the enemy, who hated him and all of the Jews, gets the honor. It seemed like things were going backwards. Seems like they were losing. But the Bible tells us that while all of this was happening, Mordecai kept his cool. Esther kept her cool. And one day, Haman decides, because Mordecai was not being respectful to him, decides he was going to kill him and kill the Jews. So he gets the king to sign off that this was going to happen. But on the night, the day before, this was going to be put into place, the Bible says the king is restless. He couldn't sleep, and he asked for some of the historical books to be brought to him, and he opened and read to him the story of how Mordecai had foiled a coup d'etat against him. And he said, "Did we do anything for this guy?" He said, "No, nothing at all." Okay. Well, we've got to do something. Is there anybody out there in the courtyard that we can get here to put things together? And who was there but Haman? Haman was there. And the king tells Haman, says, "If I want to do something really great for somebody, how should I go about it?" And Haman thinks, "It's got to be me. Who else but me?" And he says, "You know, get the king's limo, get the king's this, and get and have somebody blow the trumpet in front of the vehicle. Have, you know, all these bike riders, you know, everybody just, you know, flags, everything just going on." And the king says, "Okay, that's a very good plan. You know what? The person I have in mind is Mordecai. You, Haman, you be the one who takes care of it. When God remembers you, he causes your enemy to broadcast his defeat and your promotion and elevation." Are you listening? So when God remembers us, there is elevation. Some say elevation. Hallelujah. And you don't need to figure out how God is going to do what God is going to do. The fact is, he's going to do it. I don't have license to tell you certain things yet. But it was a good day, because God confirmed so many things to me about what he wants to do. And I have to keep it close to my breast until the fullness of time. Hallelujah. But the fact is, God has not forgotten you. When we're talking about remembrance, it's not about God forgetting anything. It's about God connecting to an appointed moment for something that he wants to do. And by the way, the reason God moved Vashti out of the way was because God saw what Haman was going to do. Because Haman was part of the family of the king Agag that was killed. Hallelujah. And that family line were targeting the people of Israel, the Jews, to revenge. And so God had to put things in order, move things in place so that the right queen was in place. Everything was in order so that his remembering them became their deliverance. Hallelujah. When God remembers you, deliverance, salvation becomes the status quo. Nebuchadnezzar was king, emperor over the Babylonian Empire. The Bible tells us that he died. But before his death, he'd taken a man called Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim, the word means Jehovah establishes. This particular aspect of this message, I've preached this message to you, I guess, a year or two back. But one of our guest speakers came to this particular passage, the first speaker that we had. And he was going to be the part that went there that the audio was lost from is partly part of this. So I want to, I think it was God's way of saying, you know, not for him to say, for me to say to you. So I'm going to go through this particular passage right now. Jehoiakim was king of Judah, and he was king of Judah just for 3 months. 3 months when Nebuchadnezzar came and hauled him out. 3 months, one of the shortest reigns of the kings of Israel. And he was in captivity and in imprisonment for about 37 years, I believe it is. Locked up. There were other kings that had been removed from their nations by Nebuchadnezzar, and when they got to Babylon, were freed to move around, but not Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim, God establishing, God established, that is what his name means. And nothing in his life was going right. The Bible tells us about him in 2 Kings, I believe it is, 2 Kings 25. Yeah, 2 Kings 25. Let's look at 2 Kings 25 and verse 27. Yeah, that's right. It says, and it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. That's 37 years. In the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that's the 27th, that evil Merodach, The name doesn't even sound right. Evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, did lift up the head of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, out of prison. In the year that he began to reign. Now, listen to this. Jehoiakim, or rather, evil Merodach, reigns for 2 years. Maybe 2 years, 2 years, 5 months. Just around 2 years. That's all. And then he was assassinated. But this is God. This is God. God wanted to get Jehoiakim out. Jehovah establishes. When God speaks into your life, it doesn't matter how long the enemy tries to frustrate you. At the fullness of time, God will raise up somebody that will help you. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how long and how messed up the situation is. God will, at the fullness of time, raise up somebody. Even if it was for one day. So evil Merodach is raised up. And he becomes the next leader, replacing his father, Nebuchadnezzar. And on the same year, the Bible says he lifts up the head of Jehoiakim. You know, it's interesting how the word of God phrases it here. He lifts up the head. You know, this is the head of somebody that is down. I don't know who that person might be right this very moment. Your head is down. Issues have befallen you for years, and it looks like things are not going to get better, and your head is down. And God says, you know what? I'm going to lift up your head. Your finances shot. I'm going to lift up your head. Your relationships shot up. I'm going to lift up your head. You're not experiencing promotion at your workplace. I'm going to lift up your head. Whatever the situation is, I'm going to lift up your head. Here is a man that is supposed to be king for a long time, but in 3 months, it wasn't even enough time to celebrate the fact that he was king. He's not done much, and he's already cut down. And God says, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I gave you a name, Jehoiakim. Jehovah establishes, but it looks like your life is not established. Your kingdom is not established. Nothing in your life is established. I'm going to turn the situation around for you. I remember you. I remember you. 37 years. I remember you, and I'm going to turn your situation around. And as soon as Nebuchadnezzar died, his story changed. Remember the word the Lord gave to us leading into all of these messages. Something dies for your change to come. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that whatever needs to die must die now. Hallelujah. I must step into my destiny. Whatever it is that is blocking the pathway for the victory that God has apportioned for me, for you, for us, that thing must be this day vanquished, destroyed, eradicated, removed from the way. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, when I say it must die, I'm saying that its ability to be empowered to do anything is removed from it. Because we cannot kill Satan, can we? But he's the agent of all kinds of troubles. Amen? So when I say, let that thing die, I'm saying simply, let that thing cease to have the power to control my affairs. Whatever it is, it loses its power immediately. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible says his head was lifted up as the first thing that happened to him. In verse 28, instead of harsh words that caused them to keep him in prison, when evil Merodach came to power, the Bible says he began to speak kindly to him. My prayer is this, that those that should have spoken harshly towards you will begin to speak kindly towards you. That those that should have kept the status quo in place, reverse it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. A reversal. This man began to hear kind words. You know, when let's say, for example, you go and you adopt a dog. But this dog used to be owned by some other guy that used to beat him up, every day. This dog is being punished. This dog is being maltreated. This dog is kept in the cold. This dog never does anything right. It tries to come close to the owner, and the next thing he sees is pow. Now, when you, the new owner, get this dog, guess what the dog is going to be doing? Always scared. Yeah? Well, if you've been in prison for 37 years and all you've been having is harsh words and being maltreated as if you were nobody, it is hard to hear kind words. Where is this coming from? Is this a trick? When is the next shoe going to fall? But here, evil Merodach, even just the name evil, evil Merodach wants to talk to you. That will scare the daylights off of you. So what? What have I done now? Evil Merodach started to speak kind words. And not only the Bible say he began to speak kind words, he changed his status. He elevated him. The Bible tells us, he says, and set his throne above the throne of the kings that were with him in Babylon. These were other kings. They've been enjoying the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, treated right by Nebuchadnezzar, while Jehoiakim is left in prison. Everybody's celebrating, and he's in prison. What a deplorable state to see other people succeeding, making it in life, accomplishing whatever it is that they need to accomplish, and yet you are still struggling. They're talking about how big their business is, you know, how many vacations they've taken this year. You know, we went on this cruise and when we were in Paris and when we were in Jakarta and when we were in Dubai, you know, we were in the penthouse in Dubai in the most beautiful place and oh man, we were treated, and here you are, you know, trying to find $10 to buy some hamburger from McDonald's. You can't go anywhere. Your wife tells you, we should go on a vacation, and that's sign for, okay, let's put it up. Don't you know we don't have any money? It's your fault. It's a messed up life. But here, in the first year, and this guy reigns only for 2 years, tops 2.5 years, two years, 5 months. He elevates him. And when he elevates him above all the other kings. He comes out of prison right to the top. It is a story just like the story of Joseph. And God opened the womb of Rachel, and she gave birth to a Joseph who is elevated from the prison right to being a prime minister and became the father of the Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, the only place that I am more important than you is this, the fact that I'm sitting on this throne, but everything else, you're in charge. It's God changing your status. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is what God wants to do. Take us. He says, and change his, and the Bible says, and change his prison garment. Change his prison garments. Takes those prison stinking garments that were on him, just like Joseph did. Joseph dropped his prison garments and put on some nice clothes. Maybe not good enough, but it was a first step. The Bible tells us Joseph shaved himself clean, got himself ready to go see the king. The Bible tells us here about Joachim. His clothes got changed. And he's presented to the king. And the Bible tells us, and he did eat bread continually before him all the days of his life. All the days of his life, he ate bread at the table of the king. You know the amazing thing about this? This is also the story of Mephibosheth, that was lame. Everything that he had lost, everything that he was supposed to experience, all of a sudden were funneled into his life. My prayer, my cry before the Lord is that God will, for all of those years, the years of the Pama worm, the canker worm, all of those worms that ate up whatever resources and whatever strength and whatever capacity that you had, that everything will just come together even now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm not just preaching right now. I am declaring to you that this that God did, because he's not a respecter of persons, what he did for Joachim, he's going to do for you and I. He's going to do for you and your family, your household, for me and my household. He's going to do for us as his people, as his church, as his congregation. God will give us supernatural speed. We'll catch up and overcome. Hallelujah. Overtaking grace. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. His clothes were changed. He ate before the king continually. And verse 30 says, he also had daily allowance. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king. Every day, new benefits, daily allowance, a daily rate for every day. A daily rate for every day. Listen, remember Mephibosheth? Ziba is busy working the fields for him. Remember that? But he's eating at the table of David. And the point we made was that all of that extra was an overflow. The man is eating at the table of the king, but he's still getting a daily allowance at a rate meant for kings, but not at the same level as the other kings, higher. Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because of all of the wasted years. When Israel left Egypt, there was a recompense. All of that labor for years that was not paid for, everything got paid. Are you listening to me? When it all comes together, you have more than enough, while other people have spent whatever it is they had. You're getting it all together now. They may have earned $1 million or $10 million in the last 10 years. And now their bank account is still low because they've been spending. But you that just got in now, you get 20 because it's higher than whatever it is they had. Are you with me? Are you sure you're with me? Are we on the same page? God is going to surprise you and I as he remembers us and says, it is not fair, justice. You see, that before Joseph was born and before Rachel's womb was open, there was a daughter born. Her name was Dinah. And Dinah means justice. And when Dinah was born and named, God says, I got to open the womb of Rachel. So we are going to cry out to God, God, justice, mercy, help me. Are you with me? And listen to this. He had the daily allowance. A daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. All the days of what? His life. Huh. Evil Merodach was assassinated by Neri Glaser after 2.5 years, But this is a point I want you to see here. Even though evil Merodach is assassinated, the benefits continued on. I don't know if you heard that. It continued on. It didn't matter whether there was a change of regime. It continued on. The honor that God bestows upon you and I is not temporary. The grace and the provision and the revival of God that is coming upon His church is not going to be temporary. It's not going to be, oh, we got to this point, now it drops. No, 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 no. This is, as long as we live, the revival continues on. The blessing continues on. The increase continues on. It doesn't stop. Listen, I said, it doesn't stop. What God wants to do for you and I isn't going to stop because there's a change of government. It doesn't matter. Once God blesses you, if this blessing comes from God, it doesn't matter whether it is conservative, liberals, NDP, Republican, Democrats, whatever nation you are, whatever the political group is, it doesn't matter anymore. When God's hand is upon you and God blesses you, you stay blessed. In every economy, you stay blessed. It doesn't matter. When God raises a destiny helper to put you in the right place, elevates you, as He's elevating us now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what government, what systems, whatever it is that is generated, no matter how crooked and fraudulent that it might be, we will keep on going higher and higher and higher and higher, because the daily allowance at the daily rate, the daily benefits will be released into our lives. If you receive this, shout hallelujah to the glory of God. God is not fooling around when He said, this year, remember me. Tell me that. Remember me. Tell me that. Remember me. And that's all we're saying back to the Father. You see, even in this story of Joachim, there is restoration. There is deliverance. There is salvation. Because all of this happens by the leading of the Spirit of the living God. Tonight, I want you to cry out to God and say to Father, remember me. Please, Lord, remember me. Have mercy on me and remember me. And let the impact of this remembrance change the trajectory of my life. Something has to change now. Lord, when you remember me, you deliver me from all of my enemies. I blow the trumpet, oh God, before you. Remember me. Remember me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. Remember me. I cry out, oh God, to you, remember me. Remember me. Remember me. Are you serious? Are you serious? Are you taking this seriously? Do you need the help of God? You know what? No matter how much you've achieved in life, there is more that can be achieved. If all you're living for is so that your needs are met, you are selfish. Let me say that again. If all you're living for is that your needs are met, I don't have any issues, I don't have any problems, everything that I need is taken care of. If that's all you're living for, you are very, very selfish. You don't understand. Because every one of us should live to be a blessing. Part of our Abrahamic covenant is that we are blessed and we are a blessing. So when I cry out for God's help, I'm not just crying so that my needs are met. That's foolishness. It's not about me. It's not about you. Yes, my needs need to be met, but Lord, I'm crying out to God that you remember me so that you can use me to be a conduit for deliverance, for salvation, for peace, for healing. I want you to use my life. I want my life to count for something. God, make my life count. Help me, Lord. It's not about my bank account being full. Lord God, I need help so that I can change other people's bank accounts. God, I need help so I can employ people. God, I need help so I can pay people well. God, I need help. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lord, I need mercy. I need mercy so I can extend mercy to other people. This is what the Lord wants to accomplish in our lives. He wants that change to take place. May God recompense us for the lost years, for the lost times, by pulling everything together so efficiently for his glory and for his honor. May the God of heaven smile over you. May God see you. And may he provide what you need and much more. Father, we receive your manifold blessings. And we celebrate your goodness to us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Ezekiel 21 and 27. I'm not going to make comment or much comment on this verse. The word of God says, I will overturn. I've read you this passage and preached from this passage before. It says, I will overturn. 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 How many times did he say overturn? Three times. Remember what I said to you about three. It's God dealing with your past, your present, and your future. I'm going to overturn everything in the past that's been against you. I'm going to overturn everything in the present that's against you. And I'm overturning everything ahead of you that's against you. Hallelujah. And it says, and it shall be what? No more. It shall be what? No more. Whatever it is, I'm overturning it. And you are not going to deal with that anymore. The enemies that you see today, you shall see no more. So I'm going to overturn it until he come, whose right it is, and I will give it him. You know why? Because he knows who rightfully that blessing belongs to. Nobody is going to occupy the space that I'm supposed to occupy. Amen? If there is something I don't know that God has provided for me, and somebody in their fraudulent ways is using it or trying to keep it, God will overthrow them. Hallelujah. They will be overthrown. It's not me going to do it. God is going to do it because he remembers me that seat belongs to me. So, out of the way. Out of the way. Out of the way. Out of the way. Ah, you're here. That's your seat. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. God will overturn whatever it is that does not belong. Rise with me. I did say a moment ago, cry out for mercy. Cry out for the help of God. Cry out and say, God, remember me. And as you're crying out, Lord, remember me, remember all the qualities connected to that remembrance. Tomorrow is going to be a night of impartation. We need to be ready to receive everything God has for us. Help me, Lord. Help me. Have mercy on me. Remember me. Remember me, Lord. Remember me, Lord. Those of you that are watching online, just keep on doing the same thing right now. Just cry out to God right where you are this very moment. This is a solemn moment. This is a very specific moment for you and I to connect with God and with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of remembrance. Remember me, Lord. Remember me, Lord. Remember me, Lord. Remember your people and have mercy. You remembered Israel in Egypt and you sent a Savior. Oh God, remember us. Remember us and deliver us. Father, do it, oh God. For your glory and honor, we thank you, Lord, that it is so. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. I bless you in the name of the Lord. I call you to that divine spot that God has for you. Step into your destiny. May God surprise you and I, every one of us, with his manifold blessings as he extends mercy and grants help to each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, let us bring unto the Lord that which God has given to us. Release from your hands today. As a son and a daughter of destiny, a worthy offering, a precious. May God fight for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Before we leave, I'd like to remind you that we have a service tomorrow morning, and then at the evening, the service is going to start at 6:30, not at 7, but at 6:30. And it's going to be a powerful night. Come ready to receive from the Lord. You will not be disappointed. Amen. The men that God has assigned to help minister to us are seasoned men and of God, and they're going to come from different parts of the world just to speak into your life. Each one coming with a particular stream, a particular grace in their lives. And we need all of it. Amen? So we can fulfill our divine purpose and destiny. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So be blessed of the Lord. Let me just say a quick hello to all of the saints that are on Zoom. We